chapter number 31. Genesis 31, verse number 13. Verse number 13. Stand, please. Jacob now has been with Laban, and you know the story about taking his wives. And here's what God says: I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now rise and get thee from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. I want us to bow our heads and pray, please. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have to call you our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you. And you said, if we not regard iniquity in our hearts, you'd hear us. And Lord, we surely pray in that name that's above every name, and ask in Jesus' name that you hear us now, and that you grant unto us that we need at this moment of time in the preaching of the Word of God. I pray for those who have been in bereavement, are in bereavement, some suddenly this morning, some last week, and then some looking for it to happen. So I pray for these families and ask you that you minister unto them, and a touch of God be upon them and help them. And then, Father, I pray that you'd help us to be a blessing and a help to them. And then, Father, we pray today that you would be with us in the preaching hour. Thank you, God, for the singing the songs and how wonderful they all have blessed our hearts and been good to be in the house of the Lord. Now comes time for preaching, and I need you to help us. I ask you, Lord, for that divine touch of God to be upon us, to help us to preach. And I pray, open every mind and heart to receive, and we'll thank you and praise you in all you do. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to try, as we think about this tonight, the day, we're looking at I am the God of Bethel. And then it goes on and tells about Jacob and what he did there. And I'm going to back up and get that in just a minute. But Bethel means the house of God. I guess if I try to title this message, I'm trying to title the God of the house of God. And I hope that we can drive that home before the day's over, and maybe get started in it this morning. But the God of the house of God. I'm glad to be in the house of God, but I'd be bad to be in the house of God if God of the house wasn't around. Y'all with me? You can be in the building and God not be around there. And the building doesn't make God come. It's not God come just because we got a building, and because we call it the house of God. But I pray today God will speak to our hearts and help us with this. And we're dealing with Jacob. Now, Jacob, you remember he was a supplanter. He's the one that was a heel holder even as he's born. And he got Esau to sell him his birthright. Then he stole the blessing from him. And Jacob was a low-down character, really, if you look at him before God got through with him. And you say, preacher, God really used him. He became Israel. He did when God got through with him, but God made a change in him. When God wrestled with him all night that night and could change his name, he never walked the same again. He walked with a limp. He was different from that point on. He was different. And by the way, let me say to all of us today, before God saved us, we wasn't worth a flip. Amen. We were liars and stealers and God haters and drunkards and drug addicts and whoremongers and all of the rest that goes with it. Amen. Amen. All of us were in the same boat. You say, preacher, I wasn't all of that. You may not have been all that, but God said if you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. And so I say I was guilty. Amen. You were too, because you failed in some point somewhere along the way. Then you're guilty of all. You're a lawbreaker. That's what you are. I was too. But I'm glad one day God came by my way. and saved me by his grace and made a difference in me, never been the same since. I am glad, thank God, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. If God hadn't come for that reason, I wouldn't be saved. But he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was me, that was you. And God came and he saved us, and I say praise his name and thank him for the reality of it. Now, I want you to turn back with me, if you would please, in Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter 28, you need to turn there because there, what we're going to pick up this morning, we're going to be using that. And in the text I read, I just wanted to read that one verse because God's telling Jacob he need to get back there and get back to Bethel and get back to that place. And I want to read about that house of God and see about the house of God. By the way, let me say this in introduction. The house of God is important. The God of the house is more important, but the house of God is important. And if it's a true house of God, that is. It may be a building, not be a true house of God. But if it's a true house of God, and the God of the house is around doing his work, then we got something to think about. I'm glad to be in the house of God today. And fact is, I'm glad to be in a true house of God today. I'm glad to be around somewhere where God is. Amen. I mean, in the singing, I felt God. I'm glad. I know God comes and lives on the inside and comes with us every time we come to the house of God. But when he manifests himself, makes himself real, and that presence of God is there. And boy, the choir got to singing. Wasn't that good? And didn't you know God was in that? If you wasn't, I'm going to say something in a minute. I hope it'll help you. And then when the ladies stood over there and sung a while ago, that first song, I tell you, I appreciated both of them, but that first song really got to me. I praise God. Amen. Thank God that God got around in the singing. Amen. I rejoice in all of that. I praise God for it and rejoice in it. I hope God says something to you today and something to me about the presence of God. And look with me, please, in Genesis chapter 28. And let's look at verse number 16. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now, I want you to see that verse of Scripture. And here, Jacob now, you know, he's going back in the nativity of his fathers, really, and heading that way, but gets to Bethel. And there he takes a stone, makes a pillow, and goes to sleep and dreams about a gate to heaven, a ladder, angels ascending and descending, and God's at the top of it. Fact is, look at verse number 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land wherein thou liest, thee will I give it unto thy seed. He's saying it's God that's above it. It wasn't so much what he was seeing about the angels ascending and descending. That was just showing him what was happening. And God's in control, but the God of heaven that was there. And Jacob saw that. But notice what was said about this. When he got to verse number 16, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I'll say to you today, and I said, I hope I'd say something while when I mentioned a while ago about the singing. If you didn't know the presence of God, I hope I'll say something to help you. If you didn't know the presence of God in that already here in the house of God today, it's one of two things. It's either that you're dead spiritually, and over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, then part of it, and chapter number 3, first part of it, it gives three classes of people. It talks about the natural man. It talks about the carnal man, and it talks about the spiritual man. The natural man is unsaved. He's lost. He's dead. And there's some folk here in the house of God today that's dead spiritually. And you can't identify spiritual things because you're spiritually dead. But I pray the Holy Ghost today be around here enough to get your attention and get you shook up enough that you'll see and become awake enough to realize there's a Savior and you can be saved and born in the family of God. It's not just coming to the house that's important. It's knowing the God of the house. And so here we are in the house of God, and a true house of God will be a place where you'll wake up and you'll meet God. Amen. Know his presence. And if you don't know the presence of God already here in this place, you're either spiritually dead or you're spiritually asleep. And a lot of time, people that really been saved, they come in, but they're spiritually numb. and they're spiritually out of touch, and they come in and they're filled up with Saturday night something, and filled up with what they're going to do today or tomorrow and what their plans are and all that kind of stuff, and don't come in spiritually awake. I pray today the presence of God be so real that you, and by the way, did you notice in verse 16 that Jacob didn't know that God was in that place until he woke up? Amen. That's what he said. It says, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord's in his place. And I knew it not. He said, I didn't even know it. I wasn't aware of it, but God's in this place. Hey, these people come in the doors and they sit in the pews and they get up and go out and never know God's in the place. I'm glad today, praise God, there's a God of the house of God. And when you know his presence, you'll get blessed too. Amen. I didn't come in just to come be coming. I didn't come in just to sit on the pew. I didn't come in just to say some words. I didn't come in just to give you a sermon. I came in to meet the God of the house. I came in because I wanted the God of the house to meet with me in the house of God. And I say today, praise God for his presence. My heart's been warmed and blessed and helped, and I'm right now being helped, and I say praise God for the presence of God. Amen. Wake up. I guess my cry to you today is wake up. Hey, we come to church to worship God, and we need to wake up in the house of God. And the Bible, Paul writing one time over there in Romans said, and knowing the time, that now it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. I say hallelujah. He's a coming back, and it's high time we awake up out of our sleep. And I remember Chris Grinstead preaching about knowing the time. And knowing it, he said, knowing the time, it's high time to wake up. And so I say to you, wake up. And if anybody's asleep, I do want you to wake up, punch them real good, and wake them up. But you don't have to have your eyes closed to be asleep. You can be sitting there with your eyes open looking at the preacher and still be asleep. And spiritually, I'm talking about. And so I pray today you're not asleep spiritually. You're awake. You're with me. You're hearing what's being said. And you want to hear what I got to say. I hope you do, because I'm going to say it if God will give me help to say it. And I hope you want to hear. And if you don't want to hear it, I hope it gets to you. And you want to get right with God and want to hear it before it's over with. Amen. We're talking about the God of the house of God. And here we are now. And so you got to wake up before you can get it. And so if anybody here is not awake, wake up. Get ready. Here it comes. And that's the first thing I want to say today is you got to be awake in the house of God. He didn't know God was in that place. He come in. He didn't know it till he woke up. I'm saying praise God. I'm glad we can wake up to the presence of God and the reality of God. Good, isn't it good to come to the house of God today? I was thinking about just getting to come to the house of God. I know yesterday's calling for it getting bad, you know, and I thought to myself now, and even said something to my wife about it. If it gets cold, it'll freeze. And if it freezes, it'll be ice. And people won't be able to get to church. And she said, God take care of all that. And she preaches to me every once in a while. And helps me too, sometimes, most of the time. And she said, God take care of that. And he did. And God didn't let it get cold enough. But God let it stay warm enough so just wet. And we'd come to the house of God. Did you just take that for granted? You got to get up this morning and put your clothes on, come to the house of God. Hey, it's a joy. I know some folk laying down there in nursing home would love to be in the house of God. I know some folk that'd love to be here, but right now they had to go to the hospital and identify a body. They had to go work through that. I know some folk today that's glad to be here, and someone would love to be here. But some can't be here. But we come, got to come. I say thank God for the privilege to come to the house of God. But notice number two in verse 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? And this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He's talking about Bethel now, means the house of God. And said, he's talking about that place and how good it is, the gate of heaven. And said, this is the place. And he said, I'm afraid. And it's a dreadful place. Now, the word dreadful there does not mean it's an awful place. It means it's a place where fear of God is. I want you to look with me, please, in 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 28. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 28. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. And I believe today we need to fear the Lord. We need some fear of God. Amen. In fact, we need a revival of the fear of God. We come to the house of God. We do come into worship. I'm glad for his presence. I'm glad to be excited about being here. I'm glad for the singing of the songs. I'm glad for the presence of God. But I believe when we come to the house of God, we also have some fear of God. If we ever get woke up and have some fear of God, he realized God's there. God's presence is real. And then he had some fear. And that godly fear, that God kind of fear, it's not an awful thing. It's a good thing to fear God. And we need some fear of the Lord. Hey, some folk come in and they don't have any fear of God. They just come in and God's like a Santa Claus. You said, y'all not mention that now. Well, it's a good time to mention it. Amen. God's real. Amen. And Santa Claus is a make-believe thing, and I won't go into all that, but I'm just saying this to you. Friend, God's a reality, and Santa Claus is a make-believe that doesn't know anything, and God does know everything. Amen. Then we ought to have some fear of God about our worship. When we come to the house of God to meet the God of the house, we ought to have some fear in our hearts that we don't want to mess up while we're here. Amen. We don't want to get distracted in something that we ought not get distracted in. And amen. And I don't know where anybody's trying to send any messages, text messages now or not. I hope not. And they're trying to play a game or trying to do something else, get distracted just looking around, finding out what somebody's got on, what somebody looks like, who's here, who's not here, all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. You say, preacher, I've never done that. You're lying. Amen. And you've done so much sometimes somewhere along the way and got in the house of God, and you couldn't tell a bit more what that preacher's talking about than a man in the moon would have. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. Preach on. We need some fear of God. I'm going to plug in something else here while I'm on it. And something tragedy will come by, some crises will come by. And boy, you people cry out, I want to get in the house of God. I want to come all the time. I want to do everything right. I want to get on the altar. I want to pray. And the crisis passed by, and somehow it's not so important anymore. And somehow it doesn't mean as much to them anymore about being in the house of God, about being meeting the God of the house of God. It's over with, and they kind of got things settled down. The wind quit blowing so hard, and the waves laid down. And so it kind of bypassed and went on the fear, not time. I think we ought to have some fear of God all the time. When the winds are blowing hard and when it's not blowing so hard. I believe this is important when it's not blowing hard as it is when it is blowing hard. Has some fear of God in our hearts. Amen. I fear the Lord. Now, we was talking this morning in my Sunday school class, and we was talking about this thing of perseverance of the saints. And it's a doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine that people that really get saved are saved forever. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you may not believe that, but let me ask you this. What do you believe? If you don't believe people that are saved forever, if they can lose it, what is it that causes them to lose it? If they can lose it, why, how do they get to heaven anyhow? If you really boil it down and get to the very bottom of it, if you don't believe you're saved forever, then what are you trusting to get you to heaven? Is it your works? Is it how much you're in church? Is it how good you are? How good a neighbor you are? How good a husband or wife you are? Is that what gets you to heaven? If that's what you believe, you're wrong. Because the only thing that ever gets you to heaven is a good dose of old time salvation. And knowing Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. I'm glad, praise God, you can get that nailed down, know you're saved. You say, but preacher, then that gives you a license to sin. No, it doesn't. If the fear of God ought to be there then in you, because you are saved and you ought not want to sin like you want. If you can sin then and enjoy it like you did before you got saved, you never got saved to start with. Amen. Because you may, hey, you're still in the flesh, and you're still in the body, and you still fail God, and you still have problems. But I promise you one thing, if you ever really get saved, you'll never, never be able to go back and sin and enjoy it like you did before you got saved. God will convict you. God will bother you. He'll tear you up. In fact, as he said, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. I also read over in Ephesians 4:30, that you're sealed with the Holy Ghost and being sealed. What breaks a seal? Something has more power. Somebody has authority, and the power can break a seal. Other than that, they can't do that. The Roman government sealed the tomb of Jesus. But there's a greater power came by and broke the seal, and Jesus walked out. Amen. And so I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. I'm in Christ. And thank God there's no power on this earth, nor under the earth, nor anywhere else in the universe that is able and has the authority nor the power to break the seal of the Holy Spirit of God. I am sealed until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what if you do? Well, if I sin and don't get right with God about it, he'll chasten me. He chastises those he loves. Amen. I'm talking about the fear of God now. I'm glad for the fear of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad today that you can have some fear of God? I'm saved. I'm as good as delivered already in heaven. You say, preacher, you may fail God. I may. But I want you to know I'm good as sealed. I am sealed, but I'm as good as delivered because Jesus Christ is real in my heart. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither should any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And that's in John 10. By the way, if that's true, and it is true, how in the world are you going to lose him? If you're in the hand of God, and Jesus is in the hand of God, and the Holy Ghost has got you sealed up in there, how are you going to get out of there?
Amen.
Amen. You can't. Somebody said you take yourself out. Well, you don't have more power than God either. And by the way, if you ever get in there and get with him, you don't want to get out anyhow. Amen. But praise God for the reality of being saved. I don't know how I got on that, but I did. It's part of it. Amen. I'm talking about preaching. I'm talking about it's God of the house of God. I come to the house of God, but I want to worship the God of the house. Amen. I'm giving him praise and glory because salvation belongs to him. I have nothing to boast in but him. He paid it all to him I owe. And when I get to heaven, I won't get to heaven because I did anything. I get to heaven because he did everything. Old song said, if anybody makes it, Lord, surely I will. I know they meant well by writing that song, but they all throw it away. Because it's not going to mean if anybody makes it, I'm going to make it. Every saved person going to make it. It's not if anybody makes it, Lord, surely I will. If I looked at it that way, then nobody go to heaven. I'm saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And he paid it all. To him be the glory. Him be the praise. I won't get to heaven and say, now look what I did. Boy, I did good. I went to church every Sunday. I didn't cuss. I didn't drink liquor. I didn't commit adultery. I did so good. Praise God. I got here. I earned every bit of it. I'm here. No, no. It won't be that way. I'll be falling at the feet of Jesus saying, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for picking me up. And I say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Fear God. Notice something else. Let's look at verse number 18. Here's the third thing I want you to see. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put for his pillows, P-I-L-L-O-W-S, and set it up for a pillar, P-I-T-L-A-R, set it up for pillar. I said T, didn't I? Forget that. P-I-L-L-A-R, pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. That's how we spell in, I better not say how we spell in Virginia. I got some folk here from Virginia. I'm trying to make a real distinction between these two words. But one, what he made a pillow for, he laid his head on. Then he took that same pillow and made it a pillar. We think about a pillar column, something that holds something up, got strength. A rock, but he laid his head on it and rest. You rest in the rock of ages, first of all, before you ever worship. Yeah. Hallelujah. Got that said, didn't I? He rested on the rock. I'm glad to thank God I've been picked up out of the miry clay, out of the sinking sand, put on a rock, and rested on it. Now I can worship God. Amen. That's what I was put here for, to worship God. He poured oil upon it. And oil is a type of the Holy Ghost of God. amen, the presence of God, the spiritual part of it. I'm glad we can worship God. He got woke up, and when he woke up, he said, God's in this place. And then he woke up and said, this is the house of God. And he got woke up, and he said, here it is, a place of God's presence, and I'm going to worship God. I thank him, and I'm going to worship him. I fear him, and I'm going to worship him. And he did, and I say hallelujah. That's a good thing about getting in the house of God, knowing the God of the house, is you get to worship, amen. I mean, praise his name. And how do I worship, preacher? You worship by praising him. Somebody last night, and Brother Jeff blessed my heart saying it, he said he'd been reading the book of Psalms and found out we're supposed to stand up in the congregation. I said, hallelujah. And he talking about worshiping God and what it means to worship God and standing up to give testimony of the grace of God. And it's good. Coming his gates with praise. Hey, and that's a worship of God. And praise his name, whether you raise your hand or shout hallelujah, or whether you take a running fit, or whether just in your heart you're saying praise him, or God knows your mind, you're saturated with God, tears running down your face, whatever it is, it's worship God, amen? And sometimes it just fully saturated you with God, and you're just worshiping him, and thinking on him, thinking about him, and got your mind off everything else, giving him worship. I say hallelujah, amen. That's what he did there. He took that pillar and stood it up and poured oil on it, and like the Holy Spirit, a type of, and let it pour down over it and worship God. I'm glad we can worship God. But I want to show you something else here. He made some vows. Look in verse number 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And the stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I'll surely give thee a tenth unto thee. He's making a vow now. He said, God's going to be my God. And I'm going to give what I'm supposed to give. And I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And it's going to be the house of God. He's made some vows now. He's gotten the house of God. But he met the God of the house. And got woke up and realized where he was, and fear came on him. And then he worshiped God, and he did all that. And then he vowed some vows. And did you know we come to the house of God? A lot of times we vow some vows, but we soon forget about them. If you're not careful, you vow some vows, and then you fail to keep those vows. Let me just kind of refresh your memory a little bit. You remember when you got saved? Or maybe since you've been saved, in a crisis, and these things happen, you got to this altar or some altar somewhere, and you promised God you'd do this or you'd do that, or you vowed some vows. And since that time, it's kind of faded into dimness. And we think about it, well, we'll do this and we'll do that. But then we let it slip by and we don't do it. I pray the Holy Ghost today will awaken us to our vows that we've made. Amen. Y'all with me? That's not easy preaching, because it gets down where we live. And we have said things in our hearts to God and said, God, if you just help me, I'll do this and I'll do that. And then later we've let it slip by and didn't do it. Amen. Or oh me, either one. But we need to recognize the fact that the place of making vows, but we need to remember our vows that we made, our promise we made to God. We need to remember them and fulfill them the best of our ability by the grace and the help of God. Amen. It's kind of like getting married, and I realize sometimes the vows are broken and all that, but we make vows and then they're broken. That's somehow bring it over the spiritual realm, and we make vows and things to God. Then we break those vows, but I'm glad God's already always ready to reconcile. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad he reconciles us back unto himself, that we can have some help. Amen. And so we need that. Now, where are y'all today? Where are you? I'm not finished yet. I got one more thing I got to say. So just hang on. I'm not through. But I'm talking about the God of the house of God. We come to the house of God to meet the God of the house. And here we are. And he, I hope, woke us up. And I hope not only woke us up, but we had some fear in our hearts. He's God Almighty. He's not Santa Claus. He's not plaything. He's not a make-believe. He's not Mickey Mouse. He's not something that You just take or leave. He's God, living God, holy God. And then worship. Worship him, praise him, thank him, give him glory. And then we make our vows and our promises to him. Some of you, some of us, maybe I better put it that way. Some of us have made promises to God, said things, just didn't get it done. But I want you to turn with me, if you would please, and this will be the last thing I want to mention, Genesis 35. Genesis 35, verses 1 through 6. Talking about the God of the house of God, here's what it said. Verse 1, God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from thy face that he saw thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean, change your garments. Let us arise and go into Bethel. Now make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Then they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand and all their earrings and were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was at Shechem. Here's what they're doing. He said, notice in verse 4, they gave Jacob all the strange gods. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. They did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. Bethel, the house of God. He said, now put away strange gods. Get all those idols out of the way. We're going to bury them right here under this oak. That's what they did. When you're at Bethel, and they said, now get up to Bethel, house of God. Go back there and dwell there. We need to get rid of some strange gods. We got some strange gods in our day that's affecting us. And you say, preacher, I don't have any strange gods in my house, my life. I don't have any idols. I don't have any golden idols I bow. You may not, but whatever takes most of your time, whatever you keep your mind on most of the time, whatever affects your life most is your God. If your life is not consumed with thoughts of God, and every day of your life I want to live for God, I want God to have his way in my life, I want God to be God in my life, I want my life and have some fear of God and some love for God and let God help you, then you may have a strange God in your life. That strange God will come in unsuspectedly. And I may have more to say about that a little bit later today if God will let me, but I'm telling you that we need to be careful in our lives. We don't let some strange God come in and take over in our lives. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The God of the house of God. Bethel, the house of God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, may the Holy Spirit make it real to all of our hearts about being in the house of God. But Father, help us also remember there's a God of the house. Lord, we want to worship, adore, praise, thank you, give you glory. And Father, I pray today that someone here, maybe you've woke them up to the very presence of God. Maybe someone here today that's dead in sins and trespasses, you're working in their hearts, convicting, drawing. Maybe someone here today has been saved, but they realize there's some things they promised God they hadn't done. Hadn't been faithful, haven't served God like he should, something in their life been in the way. I pray today, Father, we not let pride stand in our way, but that we would obey and repent, come to Jesus, let you have your way. Now, all over this house, I pray the Holy Spirit would work and deal, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. I pray in Jesus' name, God, now that you'd have the Holy Spirit to do the work. Father, in this invitation, I commend it to you. And I realize, Lord, that my words may stutter and stammer, but your word is eternal truth, forever settled. Now may the Holy Spirit take that word of God and speak to hearts. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.